Amen. 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're continuing this kind of mini-series on grief. I don't really have a title for it. God's grace through grief. God's goodness through grief. Growing through grief. We could name a few things. I guess the title is whatever graphic it is that Miss Juliana put together. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here tonight, so 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 is where we'll start. Powerful words here. I mean, these are just so helpful. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Notice verse 4, and we may touch on this here in a little bit as well, but it says, when God comforts us in our tribulation, as a result, we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. You don't have to go through the exact scenario somebody else went through in order for God to use you to comfort. Some people think, you know, I can't be helped because you don't know what I'm talking about or what I'm going through. That's not the case. I mean, God's word is God's word. And so if you've received God's comfort, you can help somebody in comfort as well. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation, or the consoling, the comfort. So, title of the message tonight is, do you want to be comfortable or do you want comfort? There's a difference between the two. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we pray that you would help us tonight and help me. I do not want to waste anybody's time. And Lord, I pray that we would just be sensitive to your word. I'm thankful that you use us. You use me. I don't deserve it. We know you use your word. Your word is perfect. I am not, and we are not perfect. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to receive help from your perfect word tonight and your Holy Spirit who resides within us, and that we'd respond how you'd have us to in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much. You can be seated. We like comfort. One of our greatest needs in life is comfort. One of our greatest needs as we go through trials and tribulations and stress and hardship is comfort. We do like the comfort of, day's over, I get to sit down and kick my feet up. Okay, we like that kind of comfort. My wife will tell you that one day I got this from a dumb movie, I got a bowl of water with some, what do you call those things, like lavender and those essential oils, things like that. And it was for the purpose of rubbing her feet. So I needed a lot of essential oils there. She's not up here right now, so I can talk about her that way. I got her favorite bowl of ice cream, and she's sitting there eating the ice cream. And my kids are just looking at me like, Dad, you are an absolute weirdo. And, but she's like, what are you doing? And, of course, I stole this from this little scenario from a dumb movie. But anyways, she's like, you don't need to rub my feet. I've had a hard day. And so I got the clothespin out and I put it on my nose, I said, it's all good. I got that covered. When I started thinking about comfort, she used that word that day. And so I can't help myself. I think back to that. I'm sorry, but I just do. But the idea of comfort, I mean, what to you physically is comfortable? Some would say their pillow. They love their pillow. And some have their blanket, some have their favorite seat on the couch, you know, or something along those lines. We look for it. We like it. It's nice to have, to be comfortable. But in our lives as Christians, going through grief and going through circumstances and tribulation, we desire, we need comfort. Unfortunately, there are many who have this mindset, and there's truth to this, this mindset of when we're going through a hard time, God, what purpose do you have for me in this hard time? Just I want to know your will in this so that I can get out of this grief and I can move on with life. And so the whole point is so that they can be comfortable again and they don't have to deal with the situation, their thorn in the flesh. And that's kind of what Paul prayed for. Paul asked God to remove it, but God didn't. And he said, what you need is my grace. I'm not removing the grief. I'm not removing the tribulation, but I can still comfort you through it. There's a difference between, in our minds, being comfortable, as in not having hard times, or being comforted in the hard times. There's a big difference between the two. And I want to talk tonight about the God that we serve, who the Bible says right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, is the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Everyone experiences hard times, and they might define it or describe the word grief in different ways. You might think of tears, hurt, uncomfortableness, heartache, inability to focus, feelings of sadness, pain, gut-wrenching pain, loneliness, unhappiness, emotional numbness, and we could go on and on, a sense of loss, no motivation. Everyone's experience of grief is different. In fact, you might feel through certain tragedies or through certain situations, you might feel a different sense of grief in this one versus this one. But while everyone's experience of grief is different, everyone's need in grief is the same comfort. And we need that. Josiah had a fight with a chair rack a couple weeks ago, as many of you know, and Josiah lost the fight. And so when we went to the doctor for him to get some stitches, and they began with lidocaine, and there was an issue there. He ended up having to have have it by needle at some point, but they were able to get 3 stitches in as a result of the lidocaine. And I guess I've never experienced lidocaine before. I always grew up with the, you know, you get the needle, and I mean it's funny how the pain is going to cause comfort here in a little bit. But with Joe, he had that balm, you know, that lidocaine applied, and that was way easier for him, right? I mean, he didn't have to look at a needle. He didn't have to start crying as soon as that thing came out. You know, he was nervous as it was, and they applied that lidocaine, and it was just soothing and helped him out. Unfortunately, there was a little issue with how far they spread the lidocaine, and you have to wait 30 minutes for it to take effect. And I think they just wanted to get out of there quickly. And I was fine with Josiah actually experiencing one time in his life what a needle felt like. So we had him do that for the last stitch there. But there's something about that lidocaine that was just soothing. I mean, it was amazing. It made me think of the soothing balm of God's grace applied to our inner pain. It is. There's just something about you're going through the tragedy. You're going through the heartache. You're going through the hard time, the storm, the situation that you're going through, and you're still in it. But when you are close to the Lord, when you experience His presence, you get help from God's Word, there's a certain amount of grace that is perfect for the situation that you're going through. Our English word for comfort comes from 2 Latin words. Check this out. Com, C-O-M, meaning with or together. All right. Fortis, F-O-R-T-I-S, meaning strong, mighty, firm, steadfast, or to fortify. We think of comfort as in, you know, a pat on the back or you know, they're there, it'll be okay type of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's what we think of when we think of the word comfort. It's not just something to make us feel better. You put those words together, it means to equip, to strengthen, and to fortify. That's what the word comfort actually means. And so it is a balm to our wound, or it is something that will fortify us in our hurt and in our pain. It brings healing and it brings strength to our soul that enables us to move forward. That's the word you find here, the God of all comfort. It's not just there, it'll be okay, like arm around you and crying with you type of thing. And that has its place, but it is God literally strengthening us and fortifying us for the situation we're going through. I don't know about you, I love that. I think that's awesome. Because the need for comfort in grief is so profound. Sometimes we're tempted to look for comfort in destructive places, temporary places. People are dealing with grief. They turn to things that actually cause more harm or cause more hurt or cause more destruction in their desire for comfort. People turn to alcohol. They turn to illicit drugs. They turn to overuse of prescription drugs even, overeating or excessive entertainment, binging Netflix all night long as if that's an escape from reality, but the problem is you got to get back to reality, or shopping, or even exercise, or more work, just work more and something to get your mind off. People turn to cutting or misuse of relationships and things like that. And some of these things might provide temporary relief, maybe a numbing or a distraction or of whatever is going on. But what ends up happening is they actually compound the grief with long-term consequences, and you're just continuing the process of the grief that you're going through. And in contrast, God provides comfort that's real. Amen? He provides comfort that is sustaining and strengthening. He doesn't just distract us. God doesn't just distract us from the pain. He brings strength for the pain. He brings healing for the pain. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Look at it, please. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. This is, 2 Corinthians is, I think, the most personal of Paul's writings, because you find him talking about himself a lot. You get his own testimony in it. He shares kind of details about himself, and multiple times throughout the book he alludes to or describes suffering and pain that he himself experienced. So I'm going to give you some references. You can turn quickly there in 2 Corinthians to some of these. He talks about how kind of suffering in his spirit. I mean, you know, you can sense when somebody's spirit is down, you know. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Just being honest here, we had trouble. How much trouble? Check this out. That we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. That's a lot of pressure right there. He talked about suffering of body and pain and danger. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. I'm going to begin where it says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, and journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. I mean, that's a lot of perils. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, cold and nakedness. I feel like I have it pretty good when I look at that. I'm not saying that we don't suffer. I'm not saying that there's not grief in our lives. There is real grief in our lives. But man, I'm glad I didn't go through that. He talked about suffering through loss of strength, or through heavy responsibility. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, the next verse. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Responsibility can drag us, right? Just the overabundance and the overwhelmingness of what you have to be responsible for Paul said, add that to everything I just described about all the sufferings I went through. How about false accusations by people he loved? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. For his letters say they are, other people are saying, weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. People he cared about, that he invested in, have these things to say about him. I mean, he wasn't a pastor, but it's almost kind of like church members talking bad about their pastor. That's kind of, I mean, he was the man of God in their life, and they said that about him. He talked about suffering through unrelenting physical pain. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. This is familiar to all of us, and we'll talk about these verses in a handful of minutes here as well. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Obviously, if Paul could testify of God's comfort in the midst of these burdens, because he would go on to say his grace was sufficient for me, right? If he could talk about God's comfort in the midst of these things, we too can experience it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, where it says, in all our tribulation as well. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. God can comfort you. He can. He wants to. It's there. It's available. He's not the reason I don't get the comfort. So, what about the comfort of God? Or what about it? How can I experience it? I appreciate what Paul did, first of all, here, is he talked about the person of comfort, the God of comfort. And in verse 1, or chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. He pointed us to the one who is a constant source of comfort. People in our lives can be comfortable at times, or can comfort us at times, but they're not always a constant source of comfort. The same people that can comfort us one day can be the source of grief the next day. Amen? And I'm not just talking about your husband or your wife, okay? But, I mean, we can, we are not consistent in comfort. But God is. Always. He says he's the Father of all mercies. Mercies. Sometimes we develop an idea of a God who's just kind of out of reach or aloof from our grief and not really there to help us or to comfort us. Maybe a God who holds us at arm's length and leaves us to kind of comfort ourselves, or you know, maybe a God who says, I'm putting you through this so you can learn a lesson, so buck up and get over it and learn your lesson type of thing. And he keeps us at arm's length and leaves us to comfort ourselves without any help whatsoever, but nothing could be further from the truth. Our God is a tender God. Our God is a merciful Father. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy what? Faithfulness. Every morning, God has fresh mercy and compassion for us. Every single morning. You wake up in the morning, and I know it might be a Monday morning, okay? But Monday morning, God has grace sufficient for that day. And that's not always true of others. We've experienced grief in our lives, and we know the reality of people growing weary of our sorrow or growing weary of what we're going through over time. And maybe at the first moment of grief, whether it's health or a loss of a loved one, people rush in to help. They care right away, don't they? I mean, And when I say they, I'm including myself, and you got to include yourself. We are quick to care. But as the days and weeks and months drag on, people tend to forget, or they assume the grieving person should move on or something like that. But God's compassions for us is as fresh today as it was 5 months ago. and it will be as real and present in 2 years from today as it is today. It's worth repeating again and again. God's mercies and his compassions are new every single morning. But not only did Paul say he's the Father of all mercies, but he's the God of all comfort. He cares for our suffering. He personally ministers to our hearts. We don't just need the sources of comfort he sends, and we'll talk about those sources in a minute. We need him. We need him. And all throughout the Bible, God assures us of his personal involvement in our lives. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 16, now our Lord, Jesus Christ himself. I like how that's worded. Jesus Christ himself. You know, he's there. And God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. What a powerful couple of verses right there. I think about when Jesus prepared for his crucifixion, he spent time with his disciples in the upper room. He knew their hearts were heavy. He had just told them about the fact that one of them would betray him and he would be crucified, he would die. They would all forsake him. That Peter would deny him three times. And I mean, they're just kind of confused of what's going on. But in the midst of all that tragedy, he made known to his disciples comfort. He promised them comfort. In John 14, 18, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Can you make that personal in your life? He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. God says the same message to us, I believe, today. He tenderly wants to comfort us. He desires to directly minister that comfort to you. So he's the person of comfort, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. But then Paul tells us about his provision as well. God doesn't minimize our pain. We do that to each other. God doesn't minimize our pain. He doesn't tell us to, like I said, just buck up and learn to embrace it and get over it. But the Bible refers to pain in this passage with a very descriptive word, and that word is tribulation. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. That word tribulation, it means this, and I've read the definition, but I never really knew the why it is this definition, all right? The Greek word is phlipsis. It means a pressing together, a pressuring, metaphorically oppression, affliction, distress. In Bible times, and not just Bible times, I did a little research and looked all the way up into the 1800s here in America. Wheat was often threshed with something called a tribulum. Anybody ever seen or heard what this is? I had no clue. I mean, the concept I've seen before, that kind of thing. But usually you might see somebody grinding with a stone on some sort of, you know, a table that is roughly made or whatever. But a tribulum is a heavy board, a bigger heavy board with stones on top of the board, iron attached to it, and it's harnessed to animals. And the animals would drag this tribulum across the grain. And when they would drag it across the grain, it would separate the wheat from the chaff. And that is the object from which we get our word tribulation. Grief is a type of tribulation, including the heaviness, the pressure, the grinding, the distress, conveyed through this word picture that of this tribulum of threshing wheat. One of the assurances we have in the reality of God's comfort is in the accuracy with which Scripture describes our suffering. I mean, God describes it perfectly. Tribulation. When you realize what the word means, it's heavy, it's grinding, It's painful, but it results in something better if we allow it to. God really does know. We know God knows what we feel. We understand that. But when we see how God's talking about our pain, it's like we can say he understands us. As in, I know I mentioned a minute ago, and we'll bring it up here again in a few minutes, but when somebody has gone through what you've gone through, I know we just said that Paul made it clear that you don't have to go through exactly what I went through in order for you to comfort me. The one who comforted me the most was my buddy Matt Harrington when I was 16, 15 years old, and his dad is alive and well even today, and my dad committed suicide, but he's the one that comforted me more than anybody else. He didn't have to go through what I went through in order to comfort me. But there is something about it, isn't there? When somebody has gone through what you've gone through and they talk about it, you can say it this way, they understand me. They get it. They know. They've been there. And when we read how God describes grief and pain, and uses a word like tribulation, when you see what that word actually means, you can say God understands. I know we have other verses that tell us God understands. He was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin and stuff like that. But God understands your pain. God knows what you're going through. How does he bring this comfort to us? Where is this provision of comfort? Psalm 34:18, please. How many have seen somebody, and you've probably experienced this happen to you yourself? Let's just be honest tonight. We've seen somebody go through a hard time, and we don't know how to comfort them. We don't know what to say. We feel like if we do this, it might be the wrong thing, but if we don't do anything, that's the wrong thing too. We want to say something, but we know we have no words that can help. But if we don't say anything, that's a bad picture as well. That's tough. That's a rough place to be. We don't always know how to respond to somebody's sorrow and grief. And other people don't always know how to respond to our sorrow and grief. But God draws near to us in our time of need. In Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. They're contrite because they've been through that tribulum ground. God's there. My point is this. The provision of comfort that God has for us is his presence. There's just something about God's presence in our lives. It was God's nearness that gave the psalmist David confidence to know he could walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? For thou art what? With me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God doesn't just comfort us from a distance. We're saved. If you're saved tonight, say amen. It means he indwells you. And when you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit took up residence in your heart. And God, that's what God told the disciples, Jesus told the disciples, John 14, verse 16 through 18, when he told them, and I will give you another comforter. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you again. I'm giving this to you. And the Holy Spirit supernaturally ministers grace to our hearts. Sure. Sometimes, and the Lord works through other people, they come alongside us to help us in this process. God uses specific passages from his word, but there's just something about his ministry to us that is personal and supernatural when we're talking about his comfort in our lives. Come on, parents, there's just something about the fact that, and I remember back being a little kid and getting my mom's presence or my dad's presence in a storm. When I got a little, I remember, so, you know, when I was young, just like any kid, when there's lightning and thunder outside, you run to mom or dad's bedroom, right? Mom and dad's bedroom, right? But when I got a little older and I was allowed to, I'm not encouraging this, but for example, one day my mom had to take my brother, he got attacked by my dog, Dalmatian. And mom had to take him to the hospital to see if stitches were needed on his face. This is why my brother's so ugly today. I mean like that. We're brothers. I can say that. All right. But it was weird. We walked down the hallway and the attic entrance, the lid or whatever, that the cover there was off. You remember this, Mom? It was off. I'm like 16, 17 years old. My brother's 19, 20. I don't know exactly. But my brother and I are like, what in the world? And they had to go. I mean, my brother's bleeding. And so he walks into the bedroom. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to stay here or whatever. I probably should have just gone with y'all. I don't know. But Leon comes back out of his bedroom, and he's got a rifle in his hand. He just hands it to me. He says, just sit right here and stare at the attic. I'm like, all right. And I sat down. All of a sudden, I had a sense of comfort. Like, I felt real good. I'm like, you know, pointing at that thing, like, come on, you know. Little mouse comes by. There was a sense of comfort there. Now, as a little kid, this sense of comfort came from just being in the presence of my parents. I had the presence of the gun when I was older, but I had the presence of my parents. And now I've experienced, and you have too as parents, I've experienced, you know, my kids, every single one of them, during every single storm that's ever happened from the time that they were 6 years old and under it. I mean, they come to our room. They're looking for that comfort. It's amazing. Josiah can't sleep at all during a storm. He comes to our room and he's snoring in like 2 minutes because there's this sense of comfort just by being in the presence of Mom and Dad. Am I right? It's absolutely true. And God has given us this as well. His presence in our lives. Understand this, no matter what you're going through, no matter the storm that has come in your life, you name it, God's presence is still with you if you're a child of God. And if you want more of His presence, then you got to go to Him in prayer and go to His Word, which is the other thing He gives us. One of the primary ways the Holy Spirit brings comfort to your life and to your heart is through His Word. I'm not getting any comfort. Are you going to God's Word? Romans 15, verse 4. Turn there, please. Some of you are wondering, so what was the end of the story? How did it turn out with you pointing a gun at the attic the whole time? Well, I got a little brave and I stuck my head up in the attic and I felt wind. And I was like, okay. The wind just sucked up this piece of board that's sitting up there. So I felt even better after that. So that's what happened. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, so all that's been written down in God's Word, were written for our learning, that we through patience and, what's that word? Comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It's in the Scriptures. We think of God's comfort primarily in the New Testament, but in this verse specifically, I mean, they didn't have the New Testament there in Romans when Paul wrote the book of Romans. This verse specifically refers to the comfort we find through the Old Testament, actually. Things written aforetime. Think about the wealth of comfort found in the Word of God. Think about the stories of Old Testament believers. You read through the Old Testament, and it's impossible to miss the grief in the Old Testament, right? You read the Old Testament, there's just grief. I mean, you think about Abraham lost his wife and wept. Isaac lost his mother. Rebecca and Rachel both grieved because of infertility. Jacob believed Joseph had been killed and mourned. When Jacob died, the grief of his sons was so great that the entire land of Canaan knew about the grief. I mean, that's just the book of Genesis. I mean, you keep reading through the Old Testament, you find grief over and over again. You find Job staggering under all the combined losses of his children, his wealth, his health, and accusations of his friend. David mourned the loss of an infant son. Jeremiah lamented the collapse of an entire nation. The Old Testament believers knew what it was to experience grief, but these Old Testament believers also knew what it was to experience God's grace. You read their stories, you see how God comforted His people. You see the kindness and love of God through their lives. You read the book of Psalms. I know on Wednesday nights for all we were in the book of Psalms. We'll get back into it in Psalm 26 at some point. Our last psalm that we preached out was Psalm 25, where it says in verse 1, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." It would be impossible to estimate how many people, to even guess, how many people have found comfort and solace in the Psalms over the thousands of years. From Psalms of assurance, Psalms of lament, Psalms of praise, prayer. These chapters put our emotions into words. They bring our hearts back to the truths of who God is. You get a raw sorrow, a real hope in God in these. Psalm 61, verse 1, listen to this. "Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Psalm 62, verse 8. "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." I mean, there's just over and over again, you can go to the Word of God. So God comforts us through his presence and through his word. And another one, we mentioned it, but he comforts us through others who come along our side, doesn't he? I mean, you can think of somebody in your life who was a comfort to you through a hard time. Sometimes we think that needing the support of others is a sign of weakness, but it's actually a gift from God. Even Paul mentioned how God used, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. Paul mentioned how God used others to comfort him. "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." Colossians 4:11, "And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me." You know, you could put somebody's name in place of Titus in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6. God that comforteth those who are cast down, comforted me when I was cast down, comforted me by the coming of, and you can fill in the blank there. In the midst of grief, you can be tempted to pull away from others. In the midst of hard times, you're tempted to not go to church. You're tempted to not talk with people. You're tempted to just get away from everybody else and isolate yourself and be lonely and refuse contact with anybody. But we need to maintain contact with brothers and sisters in Christ who can come alongside us with the comfort of Christ. In fact, that's what Paul referred to in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Others who can comfort us because of the comfort they receive in Jesus Christ. We need this. We need this in our lives. So Paul tells us about the person comfort. That's God. And he tells us about the provision of comfort. We've got the Word of God. We've got the presence of God. And we've got others. And then he tells us about the power of comfort. Look back in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. This will be our last point tonight. Verse 4, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." I mean, if you're in the early stages of grief, the thought of helping others, if you're going through the shock of grief, the early stages of grief, the thought of helping others is just far removed. I mean, it may feel overwhelming, and that's normal. But God opens these opportunities of comforting others after he has sufficiently comforted and prepared your heart. This verse is not pressure to comfort others, but encouragement that someday you will be able to comfort others. And sometimes it may feel like there's no way I could comfort somebody going through what I'm going through or what I've been through. But this verse tells us, maybe right now you can't. And it's not pressure on you that you need to be thinking, well, I've got to get over this so I can comfort others. No, this is not pressure to comfort others, but encouragement that someday you will be able to. You will be able to. And knowing that God can use the comfort he gave you to bring his comfort to others' hearts is its own source of purpose and hope. It is. It's its own source of help. Knowing that, wow, God is going to be able to use this in someday for me to help somebody else. I can't tell you how many times Lord has somehow miraculously, it's not because of me, but miraculously used me to be a comfort to somebody else who's dealt with suicide, who's thought about suicide, who's somebody, a loved one has committed suicide. The loss of a parent, the hardship, and you could say the same thing, and God has used you to help others in your circumstances as well that have been dealing with those things. And that's where that aspect of understanding what somebody's going through does help. It really does. It's not absolutely necessary, but it does help. And as we absorb, I love this thought, as we absorb the comfort of God, we've been doing this project downstairs with the tile on the floor, and it's just the drain area has caused fits for us, and we finally got it done today. Amen, Brother Hunter. But it's just been causing fits. We thought we fixed it, and then it wasn't, and then we just, you know, back and forth. But finally it's done around that drain. But something you do when you put thinset down and you are laying tile and you might get some thinset on top, you got to take that sponge and you got to wipe it off. And in fact, even when you put grout down, you've got to use a sponge to remove that, and you got to come back and use the sponge to remove the haze. And anyways, that sponge absorbs, right? It does. I mean, we have a bucket of water there and you stick it in. It's amazing how much water you can wring out of a sponge. It's like, wow, it really absorbs and soaks it up. And I think about this regarding God's comfort. God can use the comfort he gives us to bring comfort to others. And as we absorb the comfort of God in our lives, we can reach out to others and we can just kind of pour it out on them. We can reach out to others with the same. The word there is consolation. Suffering actually deepens our empathy and expands our capacity for comforting others. The Bible tells us to share with others in their joys and their sorrows. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that, what? Weep. Paul learned through his afflictions and through his sufferings that God would comfort him, and now he would be a conduit through which God could comfort others. His comfort is endless, by the way. That's where we're going to go, to 2 Corinthians 12:9. Look there, please. 2 Corinthians 12:9. I forgot to mention, you don't have to look at it if you don't want to, but in our text, in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 1, his words are these: for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and sometimes they abound, right? So our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Abound means to overflow, to be in abundance. Our sorrows can overflow, sufferings and trials and grief, one on top of the other, barely enough laps in between to breathe. But as constant and as heavy as trials might be, so there is also an overflowing abundance of God's comfort and consolation and grace. You know the verse where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound, right? The same thing applies to our hardships. You say, are you sure? Yeah, because that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. But I'm going through a lot of stress. My grace is sufficient. But I'm going through, you don't know how much struggle I'm going through. My grace is sufficient for me. You don't know, it's just piling one on top of the other. So is God's grace. Piling one on top of the other. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, while I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There will never be a trial, affliction, or suffering in the life of God's child for which he will not provide his comfort. It's available. It's effective too. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 6, it says this, And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual. It's effectual. Effective. In the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. God is saying specifically, you're going to receive my grace for what you're going through. He said, for your consolation, for your salvation. Paul went through so much. He tells the Corinthian church that his affliction was for their consolation. His affliction was for their salvation. He was referring to the sufferings he endured leading up to this time. And when he entered the city of Corinth and came there to preach the gospel, his point was not that his suffering provided their salvation, but that God's sustaining hand of grace in his life through suffering was instrumental, because that's what brought him to Corinth. And in turn, he preached, and many trusted Christ. It's often in the midst of our affliction that God opens doors. Listen, it's often in the midst of your hard times that God opens doors for you to be used in somebody else's life. So, if you could have life your way, well, that's a opening up a can of worms, right? If you could have life your way, you would never have need of God's comfort. And that's because you would never experience grief. You would never experience sorrow. You would never experience pain or loss. You would live a life that is comfortable. But as we said at the beginning, there's a difference between being comfortable and receiving God's comfort. When God allows grief in your life, what he's done is he's removed your dreams of being comfortable and instead has given you a resource of divine comfort. And comfortable might seem preferable, but experiencing God's comfort, there's nothing. It's richer, it's a deeper gift from God, of God's grace, than we could ever even dream imaginable. In fact, it's so rich that when you receive God's comfort, you can't keep it to yourself. God uses you to then pour that out, as you absorb his comfort, pour that out on others. So as you're grieving, and you're going to grieve, you're grieving now or you're going to grieve, but as you are grieving, remember, open your heart to the comfort that only God can give.